Okay, we're on the air. Welcome to the Finance Administration Operations Committee meeting of November 13th of 2013. Would you please take the roll?
Director Peterson?
Here.
Director Starkey? Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Chair Wolf?
Here.
Chair, we have a call.
We have a call. Okay, thank you. Any public comments?
Didn't receive anything today.
No public comments. We have an item number four, approval of minutes of the Finance Administration and Operations Committee and Executive Session held on October 16th. I don't know if we've had a chance to review those. Have you had a chance to look at those yet?
What did you say?
We just sent them last night.
Last night?
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to review them?
Yeah, I looked at them last night.
Did you? Okay. Should we defer because Director Darcy's not here? Maybe we can defer those. Okay, let's defer those to the next meeting. Christie? Any items?
My goodness. We're all ready. I don't know why I'm surprised. This is exactly the same place on the agenda where I'm always expected to say something.
I think we were thrown off by the overwhelming crowd of the budget
hearing.
The hearing last night, I heard.
Right. I don't have anything other than to introduce our presentation. I think we did have our budget hearing last night and, you know, it's webcast, so we assume that maybe more people tuned in than actually came in person. But you know, we went through our budget and I think that the tape is posted online, if I'm not mistaken, for people to take a look at if they're so inclined. But other than that, I think we can move into our quarterly financial review report from Mr. Kelch.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to present results for the third quarter. These comparisons that we'll do this morning are largely in relation to the budget that was prepared at the start of the year, although I will comment on how that compares or how that compares to the recent changes that we made to the 2013 results that we included in the 2014 tentative budget. Generally, the third quarter is kind of a little bit more of the same of what we've seen earlier in the year. Traffic and revenue is showing steady growth. The toll and evasion recovery revenue has totaled $747 million essentially through the first three quarters, which is almost $14 million higher than what we had projected at the start of the year. Commercial vehicles continue to do well. Passenger vehicles are growing almost 1% compared to 0.7% in the projection. As you may recall, last month when we presented the 2014 tentative budget, we made some revisions to the revenues for 2013. These numbers, the $13.7 million positive variance, supports the change that we made to the estimate for 2013. We actually increased revenues by $12 million in our estimate. A maintenance and operations budget for the third quarter, you'll see it's really very close to what we had budgeted at the start of the year, although through the first three quarters, because we had positive variances through the first three quarters, the maintenance and operations spending is about $10.6 million below budget. The capital program continues to spend at a lesser rate than what we had forecast at the start of the year, but recall when we worked with the PMO and did our revisions for 2013 again in the 2014 budget presentation, we had expected that we would spend less at the end of or by the end of 2013 than we had originally budgeted, and this is really consistent with those changes that we made in the new budget. So it's $234 million below 2013, but a reminder that we are still doing a lot more work than we did last year. It's in fact nearly double what we spent through the first three quarters of last year, $195 million higher than 2012 through the first three quarters. So numerically, what does that look like? A reminder, this is the 2013 budget revenues and allocations. You can see some of the changes that we made last month. We increased revenue by $12 million, and then we were able to allocate, we expect to be able to allocate more funds to the capital program because we have higher revenue and we have lower debt service transfers. You can see on the bottom table there that debt service is expected to be less than what we had budgeted to start the year as well. And remember that because we had initially planned to sell $1 billion of bonds to finance the capital program this year. Instead, we're only going to do $500 million this year. And we also have included some funding to do a restructuring of our synthetic fixed rate debt that we are no longer planning to do this year. With respect to the revenue, for the third quarter alone, as you can see, total revenue and evasion recovery up $6 million. And miscellaneous revenue down about $1 million. We did receive a significant payment on an easement for ComEd in October, so the miscellaneous revenue will actually jump up in the fourth quarter. All of these really on track, in line with the adjustments that were made last month when we presented the 2014 tentative budget. With respect to maintenance and operations spending in the third quarter, payroll and related costs continue to remain below what we had budgeted at the start of the year. We have fewer employees on board. That's reflected in the payroll numbers. Group health insurance also down $110,000. Fewer employees, slightly lower health care costs. Contractual services were up in the third quarter, but you can see when we get to the year-to-date numbers, that really reflects some of the contractual work that we had expected to do in the first and second quarter that didn't start until later in the year, so we're catching up. If you remember, there were items related to pavement inspection, some contracts that we had previously funded out of capital that were later in starting than we had originally planned. Materials, operating supplies, and other expenses, primarily winter materials costs have been less so far this year. And then all other insurance is the other big change. Two changes. Utilities down $732,000. I don't know if you recall, but in the first two quarters, we believe there was some overbilling that we would receive through CMS, some incorrect billing. We noted that we expected to receive a billing credit. We did receive that billing credit in the third quarter. And then under all other insurance, this is the adjustment that we had expected due to the fact that our actuary had suggested, our workers' compensation actuary had suggested we put additional funding into the workers' compensation reserve. So that that shows up in the third quarter. And then quickly, year-to-date revenue, you can see $13.7 million, the biggest difference in total revenue and evasion recovery we mentioned at the start. As I mentioned on the previous slide, payroll and related costs continue to be below estimate. You can see the total at the bottom, $10.6 million. Less spending. We've spent about $200 million so far in operations, and we expected to spend about $210.6. Again, the variances in payroll and related costs, group insurance, contractual services is a favorable variance so far, but again, we expect that spending to accelerate as it did in the third quarter to continue in the fourth quarter. So some of that variance we would expect to go away. Materials and operational supplies, again, under budget, but that's quite subject to the winter or the fall and winter weather, so we'll see how that progresses. All other insurance, of course, that's the workers' compensation additional funding. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Kathy quickly to talk about capital expenditures.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So our 2013 third quarter capital program, actual capital expenditures for the third quarter totaled $222 million and were $80 million below the third quarter projection of $301 million. And most of this variance can be attributed to schedule changes and project cost savings. Spending for the quarter consisted of, as you can see, $118 million on the Jane Addams. Most of this is continued design work, the start of construction on the westbound section of I-90, and construction on the eastbound and mainline bridge reconstruction as well. For 294-57, you can see the spending there, mostly for continued ramp construction. And spending on the Elgin O'Hare, mostly for design work on the existing Elgin O'Hare section and the I-90 interchange, Elmhurst Road interchange at I-90. If you look at the year-to-date spending, you can see that the total spending year-to-date, $417 million. A negative variance or below the original projection of $651 million. As you may recall, during the preparation of our tentative budget, the original forecast of total capital expenditures of $922 million was revised downward by $200 million. This is consistent with that revision downward, as this is comparing to the original forecast that was laid out at the end of 2012 in our budget for 2012. So again, the revised forecast has been revised downward, consistent with the $234 million. Again, most of this variance would be, again, schedule changes as well as project cost savings. This slide shows the comparison of 2013 versus 2012.
Do you know what the breakdown is between scheduling variance and functions?
Sure. For the quarter, is about $40 million of schedule changes that makes up the total of $80 million variance. Project cost savings, $29.3 million. And then there are just other scope reductions and just other adjustments that gets us to that $80 million variant.
Sure.
And then there's also a breakdown in terms of what corridor. Most of the schedule changes occurred in the system-wide, and obviously most of the project cost savings is with the Jane Addams, projects on the Jane Addams. So our capital program comparison, 2013 versus 2012. As you can see, 2013 year-to-date, again, total expenditures is $417 million. If you look at 2012, our expenditures year-to-date at this time would have been $222 million. So this slide basically points out that we've doubled our spending over 2012. We continue to double our spending, and again, the fourth quarter should show additional increase in spending as well. And then further in the appendix, again, a breakdown of the schedule changes, the variances more in detail, and also in the appendix you can look at how much of the budget was realized and other schedules that show our year-to-date actual versus for 2012 versus 2013 for both maintenance and operations and capital. Questions? Thank you.
Cost savings or expenditures happening for the end of the year?
We haven't seen anything in October so far, or so far in November. Obviously, the thing that we're watching is the need for winter materials and fuel, really fuels. I guess there's one positive, we know that fuel prices have dropped recently, so we expect that to maybe come in further under budget. Winter materials, too, are what we're watching closely.
And what payable over that cost, any changes there before the end of the year?
The account has been fairly stable, so we're still, I think, well below what we had projected at the start of the year, so I would expect to see some payroll savings again in the fourth quarter, absent, you know, some unusual amount of overtime that would result from
weather.
Winter storms, right.
Any questions?
When we did do the 2013 budget, going back to the payroll, because I remember we had looked at some positions that weren't filled, but weren't we projecting that we were going to hire more in terms of engineering, and that's why the budget went up in terms of the payroll? And is it now down because those positions were never filled, or?
I think it's always, you know, the hiring process is pretty long here, so it can be challenging to keep pace. We filled a lot of the vacancies that we had projected in engineering, and those critical, you know, hires that we need to make in order to keep pace with the amount of program that we have going on. But, you know, there are other areas then in the agency where, you know, maybe we haven't been able to hire or identify people or move as quickly. So, you know, we definitely still have some vacancies, but, you know, we funded the headcount that we think we're going to need for next year. But the engineering department, I think, you know, of course there are always critical vacancies that need to be filled in any department. But for the most part, it's really been a focus for us to try to hire up. Because as you remember, our PMO contract was structured in such a way that we were counting on having internal staff to the tollway to take on some of that work that we hadn't shifted to the consulting community. So it's pretty critical for us to keep up on top of those vacancies, and I think for the most part, I think that we have.
So when we're doing the 2014 budget, we were basing our 2014 budget off of our 2013 budget, and if the 2013 actual is going to be a lot less, would we be really overestimating our 2014 expenditures by using the 2013 budget as a comparison rather than 2013 actual, especially when it comes to the maintenance and operations?
When we prepare the and ask the departments to submit their recommendations, and when we prepare the upcoming year's budget, we really look at the positions that they want to have filled during the entire year, and the amount of operational materials and supplies necessary for that year, really independent of what occurred in the prior fiscal year. But the thing that we do is that we anticipate that it's going to take some time, particularly if there's a lot of vacancies, to phase in the headcount that those departments want, to hire them and take them in during the course of the year. So
we don't feel that there's going to be an increase, because didn't we keep the headcount the same between 13 and 14 in terms of the number of employees?
In terms of the budget, yeah. In terms of the actual spending in 13 relative to the budget in 14, we would expect there will be an increase, because we're under, our costs are under what we budgeted in 2013.
But I just remember, it looked like the headcount, the total of employees was going to be the same.
Right. The headcount is the same. We may have shifted positions that were funded within the headcount. For instance, as we had in previous years, you know, the year before, we shifted some of the funding positions away from, for instance, toll collectors to folks in the engineering department and vacancies there that we needed to fill to keep the program on track. So within the headcount, we will shift within the departments, you know, to fund priority positions in priority areas, and, you know, not fund as many in areas where we don't think we needed as many, for instance. Does that answer your question?
There is some increase next year in in payroll and related costs due to the increase in the number of state police that we expect to have on the system. We are hiring up, state police is hiring up and assigning to the tollway District 15. That headcount is not part of the tollway headcount, that's state police headcount.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike, we'll stay with you and discuss renewal of the employee health benefit program with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
So if I could just give a little preamble here. As you may know or remember, this is the fifth renewal of this health plan. The tollway went out with a competitive process, I think back in 2009, is that correct, Mike, or 2010? And took some time in going through the competitive process to secure this service. There are, I think, a couple things that we would like to evaluate, Chair, if we could today. One is just the general renewal of our arrangement with Blue Cross Blue Shield. As you can see, the arrangement is set to expire in February, and we'd like to be out in front of it because obviously we have an enrollment period and other things that our employees need to consider. The second, which we don't have to make a decision on today, but which we wanted to preview with all of you so we could get a sense of if there are questions, what we would need to come back and address, are some changes, we think fairly modest and minor changes to coverage that we think could have a positive impact for our employees, but also for health outcomes for the agency. So maybe thinking about them in two parts we can maybe revisit some of those changes at next month's meeting if we feel like we can't address all the questions that you have about them today, and we'll go back and do some additional work to collect whatever information you think you need to make a decision. So, okay?
Thank you. As Christy mentioned, in 2009, the tollway sought competitive quotes for the administration of our PPO services and HMO benefits. As a result of that RFP, an award was made to Blue Cross Blue Shield to run both a PPO program for the tollway, this self-insured program, as well as to provide coverages under HMOs, HMO Illinois, which is their broader network, and lower cost, but narrower network, HMO called Blue Advantage. That RFP called for a term up to 10 years, actually 1 year initial award plus annual renewals of up to 10 years. That was the same kind of process that the state was undertaking at the same time, and there was a desire to have the option at least to have an extended period with one healthcare program. Today we're requesting, as Christy mentioned, this would be the fourth renewal of that proposal from Blue Cross Blue Shield. They've provided renewal terms which would allow the tollway to continue all the coverages and accommodate all the requirements under the Affordable Care Act, which of course are new since the approval of the program back in 2009. Their proposal would call for about a 5.6% increase this year in the HMO and Blue Advantage programs, but of that 5.6%, 3.25% is for the payment of fees and taxes related to the Affordable Care Act. So net of fees and taxes, we're really looking at a proposal to increase the premium by about 2.3%. On the PPO side, their proposal calls for a premium equivalent, essentially the rate that you would charge for COBRA that's on leave, a premium equivalent similar to the current plan year. So no increase in the premium equivalent. That's largely because this year the experience has been favorable relative to what they had forecast. So they're actually spending less than what we had anticipated on the PPO this year. So they're able to keep their estimate for next year at the same cost per member per employee. They are calling for an administrative cost increase of about 5.6% for for this year as well. Which would, I think, increase the total cost per member per month from about for the PPO, from about $81 per month to about $85 per month, something like that.
So it's 85 to 60.
Okay, I'm sorry. As Christy mentioned, they've discussed with us a couple of potential benefit changes that are relatively low cost, which we're seeking some additional information on to see what our experience is. One of them is the provision to provide insulin free of charge to employees in the PPO. Currently, I think we provide that benefit in the HMO at no cost. Is that correct, John?
Correct.
No cost to the employee. I believe it would be beneficial to extend that to those in the PPO because of the significant costs associated with the acute episode from diabetes, and the cost is, I think, around $28,000 for providing that, but we need to provide, find some additional information on the frequency that we've had these episodes and so forth. The other is the consideration of an increase in the dental benefit. The dental benefit was last changed in 2005. At that time, it was increased to a maximum benefit of $1,500. The proposal here would be to increase it to $2,000. Dental costs have increased 36% since 2005. This would be about a 33% increase in that maximum benefit. The actual cost of that maximum benefit is relatively small, about a 2% increase in the cost, because not many personnel reach the maximum. With that, I guess we recommend approval of the renewal for the plan year. It starts in March 1. The open enrollment period, the reason we bring this as early as we do, is Blue Cross Blue Shield are providing our benefits, as well as John, work together to put open enrollment materials together so we can have an open enrollment period. Typically, in early would be in early January.
Mid-January.
Any questions?
I had a question regarding the repay administration fee to Blue Cross Blue Shield for the PPO. What, you said it would be a 5.6% increase. What is that in dollars? Do we know?
It's about $85 per member per month in total. The increase.
Total increase.
The total increase is about $4 per member per month.
About 500, right?
So $50 per member. About $50 per member.
But what does that mean? The whole agency, of what we're paying in bulk, what is the total?
Total dollar amount.
Of the increase?
Yes.
Do we know what that is?
Yeah, so 500 times $50 would be $25,000.
And fee. Okay. What's the total fee right now that we pay to the Blue Cross Blue Shield to administer? Do we know?
It would, for the PPO, and this of course includes not just the administration, but charges that they would charges for accessing their discount network.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about $500,000.
It's $500,000? So they're going to go $25,000 on that?
The biggest increase, Director, is in the stop-loss insurance. It's always been a big increase. Yeah, our stop-loss insurance provides protection if any claimant goes over $350,000 a year.
Okay.
And that's gone. That has had one of the bigger increases in the charge. They actually lowered the cost of the access to the medical discount program while they raised their administration fee, which is sort of the direction they're going as a corporation. To eliminate that variable number there.
Gotcha. On the HMO side, we're self-funded?
No.
Cost plus, no, we're fully?
No, it's fully funded.
We're fully insured.
Fully insured.
And we're fully insured because you would save more money if we're self-funded. We talked about this before, I remember, right? The cost plus, the savings versus the fully funded?
We looked at that when we went out. We talked about doing that in 2009. and we, that was one of the options that were out there. First off, the only quote we got for HMO in 2009 was from Blue Cross. No other provider provided any insurance that quote for that. I know the state has looked at that as a potential, and I think they had to back away from it because some of the rules that are tied to the HMO programs as opposed to the self-insured program.
Okay.
So is that something that we, what our experience in 2009 was what? That we weren't getting any interest in that, or what are you?
No, what it was we tried to see if we could do that legally and see if it could be done, and so far it has not been. Because of the rules tied in with HMO programs, you can't cut it out and do the cost plus. We could relook at that when we go out to another RFP, but it does not appear to be something that's used in Illinois that much.
Okay. And it was only one carrier in 2009, Blue Cross Blue Shield, but
for the HMO program.
For the HMO program.
Yeah, especially for, mainly because of where we need to have it across all northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. What the state does, they've got five or six different providers, a lot of them downstate. But up in this area, it is Blue Cross. They have most of the HMO programs.
Do you think, under the Affordable Care Act and the fact that there will be, it sounds as if there may be more competitive activity among insurance companies, that the situation might be different next time you go?
Maybe. the health insurance industry right now is pretty chaotic because those numbers from the Affordable Care Act are not nearly as much as they are. They thought they were going to get, and so a lot of the insurance carriers are re-looking at the commitments they made on that. I think.
Well, maybe we'll look better.
We can hope. We can hope, Chad.
Thank you. The Affordable Care Act, you said, was a 3.2% increase. That was part of that 5.6% overall.
3.25, and there's three different things they have to pay. All the health insurance carriers have to pay a fee that goes to the feds, and it's part of billions of dollars they need to offset the cost of the money they're giving to the people. There is a reinsurance fee, $63 per person per year that has health insurance, and that's going to go to help offset some of the cost of this. And then there's a $2 per year that goes to a program where they're going to study the best ways to take care of certain diseases and that type of thing.
About 3.25, was that equating to dollars as far as an increase?
Of the increase, I think it was, we had the 5%, so that would be...
The 3.25% is applied to, is it like $6 million?
We'll start paying that January 1st, because that's when all those fees go.
Do we anticipate that increase going up from the 3.25 next year, the following year? The Affordable Care Act, do we see any changes in that?
I don't think that the law calls for those to increase, but that's now.
And John,
last year at this time, we didn't know what those fees were when we entered into it. We just knew that was one of the things in the law.
So for those fees, the fees on the Affordable Care Act fees, just to clarify, that we pay related to those covered under the HMO programs is paid through the premium Blue Cross Blue Shield. The fees that we owe with respect to our self-insured program are paid directly, so those do not go through Blue Cross Blue Shield.
So they'll show
from
budget,
excuse me,
under salary and other?
They'll be under the
group health. On the changes, on the insulin, how many, is there a study, is there a Blue Cross of the study that we have as far as the number of people who are currently using that right now? Do we have a report from them to know how many people are actually using it? If we're going to give something away for free, I want to know how many people are using it now.
That's one of the things we're going to have to find out.
Okay.
Because one of the things is we've not asked them. What we did do is went back and asked them to take a look at their whole book of business and said, what will this benefit do? Because they have that for a lot of their other ones, and there is a law that says you will provide this to those and you provide the supplies for that, and then you reduce the cost of the insulin, so there's no question why they would take it. The cost of that is relatively low. One incident can cost you up to $15,000 if the person has some. And there's several things.
But I think that going back and figuring out what types of savings or health outcomes, benefits, what have you, they've seen with others, considering that they're the ones recommending this change, I think would be helpful. And then we can.
It's a good question too. We do not have the specific, totally specific data.
Yeah.
I think maybe you're.
They can pull that.
They're going to have to go back through and do the study, and we'll ask them to see what kind of information they can get.
And then on the dental that you're proposing a change for, that's raising that from 1,500 to 2,000.
Yeah. Right.
And then how many times do you have the numbers? Do you know how many people have gone through that 1,500?
No.
Blown through that?
No.
Is there any way to find that out?
We'll try to find that out. One of the reasons we're looking at that is the state's actual cap, and has been for a few years, is $2,500 per person.
Okay.
So we always look to the state as sort of the idea of, you know, where should we be going with our
program. Yeah. I'd be curious to see how many people have actually gone through that, and if we're going to give that benefit to see who's already. With savings is good.
The cost that they said is somewhere around $24,000 is what they projected. So obviously it's not everyone who's going to go through that, but you take a look to see who has hit that. It doesn't take much these days to hit that $1,500. If you have a root canal and a cap, that pretty well takes care of your whole benefits for the whole year.
Thank you. Any questions? Renewals? Okay. Do we want to move this to the consent agenda, or?
I think the renewal of Blue Cross Blue Shield generally, yes.
Okay.
We will come back and revisit with some of the additional information on those two items of the dental and the insulin.
Okay.
And the questions that you've raised, and any other questions, if upon further consideration, anybody else has questions that you'd like to be able to address on those. We'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
All
right. Therefore, do I hear a motion to approve the renewal of the employee health benefit programs of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois for 2014-2015 plan year?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to full consent agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Procurement.
John? Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We have four items for your consideration this morning. The first item is an award of an order against the CMS master contract to purchase a monochrome production printer. This contract provides for the purchase of a black and white production printer that will be utilized in the tollways mailroom for in-house printing. We print like about 130,000 postcards per month, 90,000 letters per month for our patrons in the iPass system. So that's what this system is predominantly printing. And the cost that's proposed here today includes the printer, accessories, software, and 3 years worth of maintenance and support for this machine. And this replaces a machine that was implemented back in 2005 and is definitely needed replacement. So award is recommended of this item to Xerox Corporation, a total amount not to exceed $309,480. The second item is
How many bids on that?
No, that's an order against the CMS master.
Also, order against the master. Okay.
Yeah. So
this is above the threshold.
Right.
So that's why it's coming to order.
Yeah. Since this is above the 250,000 threshold, that's why we're presenting this one today. Okay. The second item is a request to award a tollway invitation for bid to purchase off-road equipment. This item is a request to purchase two rubber tire loaders, five skid steer loaders with attachments. The tire loaders are used to load salt in our plow trucks and other general roadway maintenance projects. The skid steer loaders are used during right-of-way maintenance and other roadway projects as well. All seven of these units are replacements. Bidders were not required to bid on all line items. That's why you see a difference in the dollar amounts associated with each vendor. Award is recommended to three vendors: McCann Industries Incorporated, Atlas Bobcat LLC, and Martin Implement Sales Incorporated, in a total amount not to exceed $514,225.
You're like the couple with this and the vendor?
Yes, definitely. So the low bidder is winning each line item here. That's why we have three different vendors. Okay. So the third item is a request to award a tollway sole source contract to purchase web-based project management system services. So as you may recall, back in March, the board approved a competitive RFP to eBuilder for our new web-based project management system. Well, this request today is just for a one-year sole source with the current vendor for the management and closeout of the engineering department's active projects, including the Move Illinois program. So we have about 150 active projects in the current system, which is the Meridian system, per line system, actually, Meridian's a vendor. And this request today, this one-year sole source, will allow for a smooth transition to the new e-builder system. So award is recommended to Meridian Systems Incorporated in a total amount not to exceed $294,750 for a one-year period. And the fourth and final item is a request to award a total sole source contract to purchase Kronos time and attendance system software maintenance and support services. This request will allow the tollway to continue our maintenance and support of our on-time and attendance system. This system was implemented in 2005 and has biometric terminals that validate employee start and end times. It also includes, this request also includes a $27,600 to provide assistance when we upgrade to the latest software version. So we may not use this money, it's just in there as a buffer if we need help for the migration of the new software version. Award is recommended to Kronos Incorporated in a total amount not to exceed $245,672 for a three-year period.
I see it's subject to approval of the sole source hearing?
Yes, there's a hearing that's scheduled on the 20th of this month. And it may not happen. We'll know the day before if the hearing will take place. So far, nobody's requested a hearing.
That would be, can you explain what that is?
Sure, that's, so the law, the procurement law states for sole source procurements, we shall have a sole source hearing for each sole source unless nobody objects and submits a protest. So if the CPO, the Chief Procurement Office, or the Procurement Policy Board, or anyone from the general public don't object to the sole source, they'll waive the hearing. And we usually find out the day before the hearing.
And the basis for others to object would be that the reason for the sole source isn't justified.
Correct.
So there is a competitor out there that could provide the same service, or the cost isn't as great to go with the competitors, people are projecting or what have you.
That's correct. And the reason for